I'm very happy to be with all of you in this very historical city of Agra. Thank you for coming. I was told that many people were planning to come, but because of the fog, it distracted many people. So I will speak something about fog today. The Bhagavad Gita, there's a very crucial verse that Krishna speaks. Jnane natu tadagyanam yesham nashitam atmana tesham aditya bhaj jnanam prakashyati tatparam. That when one is enlightened by true knowledge, then all the fog of nescience is dispelled. Just as when the sun rises very brightly, all darkness and fog disappears. So what is this analogy of fog? Fog disrupts so many of the plans of humanity because it obscures us from seeing things as they are. In New Delhi, at the Indira Gandhi Airport, usually when there's fog, airplanes are delayed sometimes for hours and hours and hours. And even if you are a billionaire with a private jet that costs $50 million, that's what some of them cost, still, when the fog is there, you cannot take off and you cannot land. We think that we're the controllers, but ultimately there are powers that are beyond ourselves. Whoever we are, however much knowledge we have, whether we are VAs, MAs, PhDs, or whether we don't know how to write or read, whether we are multi-billionaires, or we I haven't had a bank account since 1969, or whether we're just laying on the side of the road as our residence, whether we have very, very good, powerful health, or whether we're sickly and old, whatever the situation, the nature of this world is there are powers beyond our own. Therefore, Krishna explains in the Gita, what is the real solution to the problems. Prahlad Maharaj, he also echoed this truth. He says in Srimad Bhagavat that in this fog of nescience, whatever solutions we create to solve problems, those solutions usually end up a bigger problem than the original problem. That is the nature of living in fog, because we can't see what is real and what is what. In one sense, a definition of Maya is fog. Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, they define Maya as that which is not. That means we can't see things as it is. So in the fog, we really can't see where we're going. very difficult to drive, very difficult to walk. And here it is, people have come from across the planet to see the Taj Mahal. They have spent so much money to see the Taj Mahal. And in the fog, even if they're 10 meters away, they can't see it. If you go 1 meter away, if the fog is really dense, if you go just a few inches away, you'll only see this much of it, which looks like anything else. So yes, people have come so long to see Taj Mahal, but they can't see, and it's right there in front of them. In the Gita, what is this sun that rises that allows us to actually see? It's the sun of knowledge. Jnanena tutara jnanam yesham nashitam adhyam. Tesham aditya vijjnanam prakashiyati tatpanam. Jnanam tehan savijjnanam. Krishna tells, what is this knowledge? It's to understand who we truly are. The Atma, the soul, is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or Krishna. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. When the Atma is in this mass fog of misconception, the misconception of forgetting who we are, we are thinking, I am this body. I'm American or Indian or Russian or Pakistani or Israeli. I'm black or white or red or yellow or brown. I'm male or female. And those things in this relation to this body are mine. My wealth, my intelligence, my abilities. And as soon as we start thinking in this way, then we separate ourselves from our relationship with all others. It's like when you have a family, because you have something in common, there's a relationship. Or friends, you have something in common, there's a relationship. But what happens to somebody who's very different, who doesn't have a different religion, a different color of skin, a different race, a different caste? Because we don't see what we really have in common, there's a separation. And what is the result of that separation? Either we're arrogant because we think we're better, or envious because they're gaining more than we can gain. It's all fog. It's only because of the fog. There was a documentary made in America called The Fog of War. Zach, did you ever see that? It's about how wars, where hundreds and thousands of people were killed, millions suffered. And these wars were just based on miscommunication, not understanding facts truly. Because America, Vietnam, they had different conceptions of what was true. They didn't understand each other. They had so much distrust that for over a decade they were killing each other, bombing each other. And when the fog cleared, they realized, we were fighting you for something you never did. And you were fighting us for something we never did. It was all an illusion. This is fog. And this is very much the story of the material world. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gabihastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana. When we actually see things, when the light of knowledge, the sun of knowledge, dissipates the fog of all of these misconceptions, and we see things how we are, we see that we are all intimately, lovingly related. Whether we're a Brahmin, or whether we're a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Shudra, or of no caste at all, whether one religion or another religion, whether we are a human, or a cow, or an elephant, or a dog, or a cat, wherever there's life, there is a sacred part of God. Aham Bija Pratapita, Krishna tells. I am the father and mother of all living beings. If the fog is lifted and we understand who I am, and what is my relationship to Krishna, to God, then we see everyone in relationship to ourselves. The physical relationships that we have today that we hold so dear to us are coming and going, like the winter and summer seasons. By the power of time, you know, from the perspective of eternity, our relationships in this world, our identity with this body, is just like a brief spark in the sky of eternity. But we take that so seriously. But our relationship with each other on the spiritual platform, that everyone is a divine child of my beloved. I was asked to speak the yoga of love, but I'm giving a completely different talk because only a few of you came. But I'll say something about the yoga of love. The purpose of yoga is to dissipate that fog so that we actually learn how to love. When the fog of ego, of ignorance, is lifted by the sun of knowledge, by the sun of grace, then we see everything as it is. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sajja kabunoi sravanadi sudichiti koriya yudhoi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this beautiful verse, that this love for God, for Krishna, this love for all living beings who are part of Krishna, is the nature of our true being. It's within us. It's what we're looking for, what we're searching for, what we're crying for, is the fulfillment of connecting to that love. But because of this fog, we're going all in the wrong places trying to find it. And we keep crashing into each other in the fog. Yes. Whenever we have battles, ego battles, whether it be with our husband or our wife or with our friends or with our people we work with or between nations or between religions, it's because of this fog we're just crashing into each other. And it hurts. But when the fog is there, we don't crash into each other. We offer our pranams to each other. You see, in this fog, in Jharikhanda forest, the deers were thinking, I'm a deer. And the tigers are thinking, I'm a tiger. And the deers were running in fear from the tigers, and the tigers were leaping on the deers and sucking their blood and eating their flesh. But actually, they're not deers or tigers. They're pure Atma, pure souls. They're pure lovers of God. It's only the fog that gives them those misconceptions. It's only the fog that creates such antagonism between them. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glanced upon them and induced them to chant the holy names of Hari, 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 then the fog was lifted. And what happened? The deers saw the tigers as their lovers. instead of running from the tigers, the deers were running to the tigers. And instead of the tigers eating them, the tigers were embracing them and protecting them. Just stay with me, I'll protect you. If anybody comes to hurt you, just tell me. They were embracing, they were kissing. Not romantic kissing, but with spiritual love. Yoga is meant to lift that fog so that we actually learn how to love ourselves. Who's the true lover? We understand who I am. I'm Satchitananda, I'm eternal, I'm full of knowledge, I'm full of bliss. Why? Because I'm part of Krishna, who is Satchitananda Vigraha. And everyone is. You see, there can't be false ego when we understand the beauty in the fog. The sun ray doesn't see the other sun rays. Yes? And the sun ray doesn't see the sun either. But when the fog is lifted, then the sun ray sees every other sun ray is just like me. They may be individual, they may be unique, but they're of the same quality as me, and we're all coming from the same sun, and we're all meant to do seva for the same sun. What would the world be if every sun ray was at war with each other? The whole world would burn up. But the sun rays are united, they're in harmony. And similarly, we are all naturally harmonious with each other. This is truth. Tat param, Krishna says. When we understand this tat param, this true truth, then we see everything as it is. Even this material creation, we don't see it as a horrible place where, you know, we have to grow old and we have to get diseased and we have to die. We see this material world as Krishna's energy. And we see it as a place where every situation is an opportunity to render seva. In my own little life, my dear friends and brothers invited me to come here, and they told me there would be hundreds of people, and they worked so hard, and we went on and it's a very nice ride. You just come from the Delhi airport, and there's a beautiful highway that will take you right to Agra. So I was thinking, whatever. I never believe anybody when they talk about how nice it's going to be on the material platform. The only thing I believe is, if I don't take shelter of Krishna in any situation, there's no purpose. So they gave me a really nice purpose. Because we saw a sign. We drove for about an hour. We saw a sign, Agra, 141 kilometers. And the driver, because, you know, I'm from Mumbai, I don't know the roads here. Actually, I don't even know the roads in Mumbai. But we're driving, and he takes a turn, and I say, are we in Agra? Why are you turning off the highway? He didn't say anything. He said, no, we must go this way. And we went that way, and we kept going that way. And soon we were in these totally dark fields, or nothing around but agricultural fields. And the road, there was about every half meter, there was a hole about this big. Zach, is that kind of accurate? And you could, and we're just so we asked, you know, driver, where is this nice highway? He said, you know, detour, we will catch the highway in 2 kilometers. 2 hours. And every time he saw someone, he was saying, "Where is Agra Highway? Where are you?" In Hindi, "Where is Agra Highway?" We were completely lost. Totally lost. We didn't know where we were. We don't know where we were. We didn't know where to go. He kept asking and asking and asking, and we get directions, and then we get a different direction, and a different direction, and we, and it's dark, and it's late, and finally, after 2 hours, we get off this road. I wouldn't call it a road. I would call it some sort of path of purification. And finally, we came to another road, which was also, but not so much. And where is Agra Highway? That way. So we go this way. Yes, another that way. So go that way. That way. And somebody else is that way. So then we ask somebody else, they say that way. So we go this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, and we see the highway, but we can't get on. How to get on? This is material world, it's right in front of us, but we can't get on it. Very, very symbolic. It's like truth and knowledge is right there in our hearts. But we don't know how to get on it. It's right there. The highway was literally just a few meters from us. And it was a smooth, nice, 8-lane. And we're just adjacent to it on this road that's going, and trucks are going, and we're that far. We couldn't get on it. So we asked some other directions, and they said, "Where you came from, you have to go back 10 kilometers. You went the wrong way." So we did that. And finally we got on the highway. And then we came here. So why am I telling this story? I guess because I have to get it out of me. But there is a philosophical reason too. That there wasn't even any fog out last night. And we were totally lost. So the fog means the fog of not knowing who we are, where we're really supposed to go, and how to get there. That, the Gita explains, is knowledge. Tatparam. That I am that eternal soul that is seeing through these eyes and hearing through these ears. I am Satchit Ananda. I'm eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. I'm beyond birth, beyond death, beyond the vulnerable situations of this body and world. And I'm part of Krishna. And there's love of Krishna within my heart. And this whole world is Krishna's energy. And this whole world can be a way that we express our love for Krishna. That is truth. In that truth, there's real happiness. And there's nothing that could disturb that happiness. Rather, even the difficulties that come, tate nukam pam susamikshamat, the difficulties that come aren't inspiration to turn inward and take shelter of that truth. And the nice times that happen in this world are opportunities to express what we have found there through our actions, through our words, through our thoughts. That is tatparam. That is truth. And nothing can change that truth. Here we find the Taj Mahal in Agra. People from all over the world come to see it. It's considered one of the 7 wonders of the world. Sometimes I wonder why it's one of the wonders. The It represents the art, the culture of the Mughal Empire as it presided over India for many centuries. And I remember when I think of Taj Mahal, I remember back in 1970 when I was living in the Himalayas as a little sadhu. I didn't have money, I didn't have a home, I just lived in a little cave, and I sat on a little rock in the middle of the Ganga. And I remember one of the lessons that I was blessed with by Mother Ganga. I was thinking the current of Mother Ganga has flowed and flowed and flowed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We read in Srimad Bhagavat how Mother Ganga entered into this universe when Vamandev pierced the covering of the universe with his foot. And Mother Ganga, which is the Karna, the causal ocean, came through that crack in the universe and washed Vamanadeva's feet and became the most sacred of all sacred things in all the heavenly worlds. Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka. And it was Bhagirath Maharaj, by his tapasya at Gangotri, that he actually brought Mother Ganga into the earth planet with the help of Bhagavan Shiva. Can you imagine? Ganga came from the body of the Lord, washed the feet of the Lord, entered into the matted locks of Lord Shiva, and then came down to this world. And that took place long ago. And Ganga has been flowing down through Rishikesh, Haridwar. Gomukh, Gangotri, all these places it's flowing. And as I was sitting on this rock, I was thinking that Ganga just keeps flowing. It was flowing just like this when Alexander the Great came to conquer India. He came and he went. It was flowing just like this when the Mughal emperors came and conquered India. For about 600 or 700 years, they controlled most of this country. And then they went. Ganga was flowing just like this when the British came. And they conquered India for about 2 centuries. And they came and went. And sometimes the Congress party wins, and sometimes the BJP wins, and sometimes another party wins. But the Ganga keeps flowing. So many changes. The Ganga flows, sometimes there's war, sometimes there's peace, sometimes there's so many things. And in the same way, this world is always changing. Certain things we have little control over and other things we have no control over. But the current of truth is always flowing. And if we take so seriously you know, what's going on the banks, where everything is always in a state of transformation, then there could be no real peace. Then our happiness, even our love, is conditional by so many things out of our control. But if we find our peace, our love, in that inner truth of the current of Krishna's grace, Radha's grace, then whatever happens in the banks, our focus, our purpose, and our fulfillment cannot be impeded, even by death itself. So what is the wisdom of Mother Ganga? Even human beings could put so much pollution in her, but she keeps flowing because she's not the pollution. The pollution is something different. The Ganga is always the Ganga. So Taj Mahal, of course, the person who built this incredible monument, Shah Jahan, can you imagine what power, what influence, what wealth he had to make this as a tomb for his wife? How many tombs are there like this in the world? How much he loved his wife, that we don't know, but he definitely made a good tomb for her. There are other people, I'm sure, who love their wives as much or much more, but they just burn her body and put her ashes in the Ganga. Or they have a little tombstone. What is this? What is the art? What is the architecture? What is the craftsmanship? To do all this, to make a tomb for a wife? What kind of power and influence and money he had? But even with it all, there were things out of his control. His own son, Aurangzeb, killed some of his brothers, exiled others, and put his father in prison. He wasn't even allowed to see the Taj Mahal. He had such power to build it, but then he wasn't even allowed to see it. What to speak of walk around and show people what I have done. So whoever we are, there are forces beyond our control. Yes. The word Swami means master. Yes? Well, what kind of master? I come and I'm lost on this bumpy road. But I was with Zach, so I was happy. And I was with Braj Chandra. So the real master that we could all be, to really be a master means to completely give up the idea of being a master. Because as long as we think we're a master, there's going to be bumpy roads. And even if we build a beautiful highway, even if we build the Taj Mahal, we may not even be able to look at it. That's the way the world is. But that current of truth that is within us, when we connect to that, when we bathe deeply in that current of truth, then we give up trying to be the master, the controller, the proprietor. And we take our joy. Gopi Bharatur Padakalmaliora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. We become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of Gopis. And our true happiness is seva, unconditional loving service.
That is our eternal nature, and nothing can impede that. Not even the fog.
Because in the light of that, even if the whole world is full of fog within our hearts, the light has dissipated the fog, and we see everything as it is. We see Krishna everywhere and in everything, and our love is there being expressed through all we do.
That is the perfection of yoga.
Yogi namapi sarvesham madgatenantaratmana sarvan bhajate yomam same yukta tamamata. Krishna tells in Gita, of all yogis, one who abides in me with this faith and love and renders unconditional loving service to me, that person is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. And it's interesting because just close to Agra is Vrindavan. Where the most intimate, loving expressions of devotion have been revealed to the world. The gopis, their love is such, they don't, whether Krishna's God or not, doesn't make any difference. They love Krishna because he's Krishna, because he's so beautiful. Because he's so merciful, because he's so playful, and because his love is so sweet. At Govardhan, there's a place called Paita. And Krishna was, at Chandra Sarovar, Krishna was performing Raslila with gopis during the springtime. And Krishna left all gopis. He was hiding from them. Why hiding? Only to increase the sweetness of their love. So they were searching everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And he was, and gopis came, and there was Krishna under a tree, and he saw them coming. So he changed his form to the form of Narayan, where he was very majestic. Narayan is the Lord of not only the universe, not only creation, but all material and spiritual worlds. Narayan is the Lord. He's the creator, maintainer, destroyer of everything that exists. And this incredible form of Narayan, holding his conch shell, his chakra, his club, and his lotus flower, was giving darshan to the gopis. Could you imagine seeing Narayan face to face? The gopis saw him face to face. And Narayan said, "Ask any benediction from me." And the gopis said, "Tell us where Krishna went." They said, "Om Namo Narayanaya, where is Krishna? Where is, we want to find Krishna." They weren't interested in Narayana. They offered, "Om Namo Narayanaya, Pranams Narayan. Where is Krishna? We're looking for Krishna. Did you see Krishna? Give us this benediction. Where did Krishna go? Tell us, tell us." So with his four arms, he said this way. So they just immediately bowed and ran to Krishna. They didn't bow to Krishna, they just loved Krishna. But they bowed to Narayan, and they loved him, but they weren't concerned with the Lord of the universe. They were concerned with the Lord of their hearts. And then Sri Radha came, and Narayan was giving her darshan. And she asked, "Where is Krishna?" And Krishna, with all of his powers, and Krishna's all-powerful, he is a chintya shakti, he is inconceivable, unlimited power. one of his expansions, Karuna Dakshayi, Mahavishnu, just by his glance, just by his exhalation, he creates all the universes. Just by his inhalation, he destroys all the universe. Just by his glance, he impregnates all living entities in the entire cosmic manifestation. That's power. You know, a man in this world shows, look at my son, look at my daughter, what a good father I am. I have produced them. Well, that's pretty good. But Krishna just drew a glance, and every living entity is his child. And here is that Narayan standing before Sri Radha. And Radha's love to see Krishna was so strong that helplessly two of Narayan's arms just fell off, just melted. And he couldn't hold his conch shell or his club or his disc or his lotus flower. They just, you know, he was trying and they all disappeared and the flute appeared on his hand. And there he was, Krishna. He was conquered by the love of Sri Radha. Bhaktavatsa. This is the most deepest hidden mystery of all Vedas, of all the great scriptures, of all the world, is that the all-powerful is conquered by the love of his devotee. Sri Radha is the ashraya vigraha. She is the abode of love. And Krishna is the vishaya vigraha. He is the object of love. And we all are little ashraya vigrahas. And this is Vrindavan. Sri Radha is Vrindavan Eshwari. She is the presiding queen of Vrindavan. And her love is the energy that pervades everything and everyone. Even the plants, even the trees, the river, the kuns, the insects, the bees, the cuckoos, the birds, the peacocks, the cows, the calves, the buffaloes, the goats. Everyone in Vrindavan is simply immersed in that energy of Sri Radha's love. Everyone is an instrument of her love. And therefore, everyone is conquering Krishna, and Krishna is conquering everyone. We read so many stories of how Krishna conquered Kamsa, and he conquered Jarasandha, and he conquered Salva, and he conquered so many. But his great in Vrindavan, he conquered Putana and Aga and all of these people, but his real happiness was when he was conquered by the love of his devotees. When Yashodamai would tie him up and he would cry. When Radharani would not talk to him and he would cry and beg for her attention and for her affection. When the gopas would wrestle with him and they would defeat him in wrestling. This is where Krishna gets his greatest pleasure, to be conquered by the love of a devotee. And the devotee's greatest pleasure is to be conquered by the love of Krishna. You see, the ego of this world is we want to conquer. But in the spiritual world, the greatest happiness is to be conquered by love. That is the yoga of love. That is within all of us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Saravanadi Sudhijiti Kodiya Yudhoi. By chanting Krishna's names, by associating with those who love Krishna, then that
fog, that fog of illusion, is cleared by the sun of this grace, and then we see who we really are. And we awaken to experience that love. And we experience Krishna. And we experience the whole creation as Krishna's world. And we experience every living being as Krishna's beloveds. This, the Gita tells, is the perfection of yoga, the yoga of love within all of us. These are some of the thoughts that have come to my heart after seeing the effect of today morning's fog over Accra. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are all of you from Accra? Please raise your hand if you are from Accra. Do you go to Vrindavan sometimes? Radharani and Shyam Sundar are your neighbors. Yes? I'm very happy to meet you. And for Krishna's mysterious reason, he wanted me to be with all of the devotees from Accra. And he played a good trick to bring me to be with you. And I'm very happy. And I will publicly proclaim my happiness toward Jagannath Prabhu and Shubhavilas Prabhu and Radheshlal Prabhu for arranging this wonderful program. It's much better than I expected. So you can be very happy, you can celebrate, you could dance, you can take prasad, but it's Ekadasi. So be careful. And I'm very happy to meet you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.